morning, this third Sunday of Advent, we hear the fiery words of Israel's last great prophet, John the Baptist. And like many prophets before him, his language, as you just heard, is kind of jarring. His finesse is lacking, to say the least. For example, you may want to note that I did not begin my morning sermon by addressing you all as "you brood of vipers," as tempting as that may have been. Just kidding. But good old John the Baptist was not out to win a popularity contest, that's for sure. His mission was to wake people up, to get people to recognize their own complacency, their lack of effort to live the sort of lives that God wanted them to live. And part of that complacency, John attributed to the kind of sense that they had, kind of an overpowering confidence they had in their own DNA, their pedigree. You see, as descendants of Abraham, these people knew they were the chosen people. They were in like Flynn, so to speak. So why sweat the small stuff like serving your neighbor or loving God? And John says to them, "Do not say to yourselves, 'You have Abraham as your ancestor.' I tell you, God is able to raise children of Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Tough talk. Strong enough language that some in the crowd actually wondered inside if maybe John the Baptist wasn't the Messiah himself. Back in those days, the chosen people, the children of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, were anxiously waiting the coming of a great and mighty king someday. Someone who would bring about justice and defeat their enemies once and for all. The Old Testament prophets certainly pointed to this mighty Messiah who was going to come, almost with warrior-like qualities. In fact, the reading Terry shared with us from Zephaniah, he says, "Do not fear, O Zion, do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory." Now, it could be that John the Baptist had some of those tough warrior-like qualities, kind of a Clint Eastwood exterior. And so they were maybe thinking this was the Messiah. But John basically responds to their inquiry with, "Hey, you think I'm tough? Just wait till you see the guy who is following me. I baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. In fact, he's so mighty, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal. That is how powerful he is." It would seem that both John the Baptist and the crowds were kind of holding their breath, just waiting for this Messiah who would bring about a revolution. No more oppression. No more injustice. Pretty much put Rome on its heels and usher in a long-awaited liberation. Peace on earth at last. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Peace on earth. It may sound even just a little familiar about this time of the year when we tell the story of the angels singing to the shepherds. And they sing, "Peace on earth, goodwill to all," as they herald in Jesus, the Messiah's birth. 2,000 years ago, the angels sang that as Jesus was born into our world. We've been telling this story for some 2,000 years, hearing this promise of peace on earth, goodwill to all, year after year. And yet, are we any closer to peace on earth today? Yeah, not so much. It would certainly seem to me that peace and goodwill are about as scarce today as they've ever been. And oppression? Well, it may not be Rome anymore, but there are certainly oppressive forces out there in our current context. Injustices abound. Just listen to the news any day, any night. It's been some 2,000 years since the Messiah came into our world, and yet we are really no closer to peace on earth, goodwill to all, than we've ever been. Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? It's okay to wonder at times. The kind of wondering when you pray and pray for something and then God doesn't answer. Or the kind of wondering when something tragic happens in our world and how could God ever allow something like that to happen? The kind of wondering when the world is off celebrating and decorated with lights and ho, ho, ho and holiday cheer, and what you're experiencing is so far from any of that. It's just dark. It's just dark inside. And you kind of wonder. It was dark inside the prison. Dark and dank. Some time had passed, months, maybe even years, since John the Baptist gave that fiery, confrontive sermon to a complacent crowd, and he was all fired up about the coming of this mighty Messiah who would bring about a revolution, and now here he was in prison, and the world hadn't changed an iota. Rome was still Rome, oppressive as ever. Injustices flourished, and John? Well, John the Baptist kind of wondered. Was he backing the wrong guy? Did he make a mistake? And so it says in the gospel that John sent one of his followers to go find Jesus and to ask him quite plainly, "Are you the one to come, or is there another to wait for?" If you've ever wondered, if God is God, why is our world so messed up? Why doesn't God fix what's wrong? Why do our prayers seemingly go unanswered when we pray for peace? Well, you're in good company. For John the Baptist, the last great prophet of Israel, he wondered as well. Was he wrong about the Messiah, or was he wrong about Jesus? And the answer that Jesus gave the messenger to tell John was this: "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." Now you'll note that Jesus said nothing about confronting the emperor. He made no talk of building a great army. There was no grand plan for a nationwide revolution, because the revolution Jesus was bringing was personal, within the hearts and the minds of individuals, and quite an unlikely list of individuals at that. The blind, the lame, the poor, lepers. These are people who had absolutely no power in that society back then. They were outcasts, losers, and nobodies. But obviously, somebody to God. From his very humble entry into this world, Jesus the Messiah did not set out on a mission to revolutionize this world, to change the course of the world. But rather, his mission, his driving passion, was to change the course of our lives, to revolutionize the way we see ourselves and our potential, to give new vision to our perception of this world and those neighbors who surround us, and to expand the way we respond to life at its worst, when things are beyond our control. Because the truth is, we are not alone in this darkness. And we are not alone as we deal with tragedy. And we are not alone in this world that is all too often oppressive and unjust. Jesus, God, is with us. And in that partnership, within that indwelling, we are given light and life and hope. We really don't know how John responded to that messenger when he offered Jesus' message. Maybe he was disappointed in Jesus' response. Or perhaps there in the darkness of his prison cell, he found solidarity with that list of nobodies. Perhaps underneath that Clint Eastwood exterior, John the Baptist was really no different than any one of us, wholly dependent on God's grace and mercy and promise to never leave our side. Whatever our misgivings, whatever doubts we may have from time to time, whatever wondering we may do, whatever disappointments, God is not disappointed in us and comes to us eager to be with us in our weakness. And as for the angels, well, I really don't think they were all that wrong in promising peace on earth. For you know, our God is a practical God. And how likely is peace, a lasting peace out there, unless we don't first know peace, a God-given peace in here? And so may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we sing our next song, we're going to have